was a very nice golfer's clap. I really appreciate that. Challenging. I'm a veteran to this group. You know, this is my second time. I came 3 weeks ago when Donald shared, and I'm a big Story Brand fan, and it was really good to hear his heart and see how God has gifted him to help others not only share their story, but actually help others along on their journey of life. The pressure was, Scott, you're going to follow that in 3 weeks, and to have the clarity of Lord saying, Scott, just share your story. Don't try to be somebody that you're not. Share from your heart. You know, all the notes that are written for your message to hear today are on my desk in my home office, so you're really going to get it from the heart. And what I found over the years for me to do that, I can't do that on my own. I need Jesus to show up big, to speak through me that I become his microphone today. In order for me to do that, we need to hit the pause button of life because I can already feel it happening. I need to just pause and we just need to pray again for him to take over. Heavenly Father, Lord, we bow in humble adoration for this moment in time, Lord. Please help us to hit that pause button of life. Quiet our minds, our hearts. Lord, open our ears and even our souls, Lord, as you speak through me, God. Jesus, this is your time. Use it for your glory. And it's in your name we pray, amen and amen. Hey, I want to take you back to April 12th, 1969. Many of you weren't even here on earth at that time, but that was my 8th birthday. Lived up in a little town called Ripon, Wisconsin, and my dad said, today I'm going to introduce you to the Lehman Country Club. I've got one golf club, I got 3 golf balls, and I went out and my dad built 6 holes on the 3 acres. Took the mower down a few notches, 10-foot circle, took my mom's clay flower pots that were 8 inches and buried them in the ground and had a little wire orange flag and said, Scott, this is the Lehman Country Club, welcome. I'm like, geez, Dad, this is awesome, we got our own golf course. He goes, but son, I have 2 rules, just 2. I'm like, let's fire away, let's go. And he goes, number 1 is you have to go from 1, 2, 3, all the way to 6 in succession. You cannot skip a hole. You can't go over the garage to get to the other hole. You got to go in succession. No problem. Yeah, what's number 2? Number 2 is you got to hit your shots from head high or lower. Nothing up high. We want to stay low. And if you do that, all is going to be good. Well, for my first 2 years, it was a great father-son time. I was very obedient. Something happened when I turned 10. My confidence was way up here. I'm in the front of the house, knowing there's a hole behind the house. I'm going over. I have 1 club, a 7-iron. About 4:30, my dad would come home every day. He was an electrician for 40 years. And when he came to the driveway, he would just beep really kind of softly and just let me know he's coming home. And whatever sport it was, football, basketball, baseball, golf in the summer, we would just go in the backyard and play. It was about late afternoon, and I'm in the front of the house with a golf club, ball's ready. I'm going over the house. It's going to be a shot of a lifetime. I get about this far in my swing, in my backswing, and I hear beep, 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 beep. And my mind said, oh, no, but I'm still going to go for it, and I hit a shot a little thin that shattered my sister's bedroom window. My dad saw everything. I dropped the club and started thinking, do I laugh? Do I cry? I ran around the backyard. We had a huge John Deere tire tractor. My dad was born and raised on a farm. Filled with sand, I dove in it and still cry, laugh. Can I tell you something? When you hear your dad say your first name, your middle name, and your last name, with a Vince Lombardi type of coach's voice, Scott Nelson Lehman, where are you? You better start crying. So I'm in that bunker and just crying my eyes out. And the only thing I could say is, I'm sorry, Dad. I'm sorry, Dad. Something happened to my father. When he turned the corner of the house running and got to a jog and walked up to that tire, he dropped to 1 knee. I said, son, what did I tell you? I said, Dad, I'm sorry. I said, come on out of there. Picks me up, brushes me off. He goes, let's take a walk. Puts his arm around me. Guys, this is 50, 53 years ago. Walks me to the crime of the scene. Club was on the ground, big divot. Gets down on one knee again, puts his hand on my shoulder and says, "Son, remember this. In life, you will hit bad shots, but never stop swinging." 53 years later, that never stop swinging rained through some of the trials and tribulations that I experienced in my life. Next day, he comes home with a brown Ace Hardware bag. I said, "Son, this is for you." I'm like, "I'm getting a gift after what I just did." Open it up, and there's a three wiffle ball golf balls. And he goes, "Those you can hit over the house." So I'm going to fast forward, because my birthday is always around the Masters. And at 36 years old, I get 12 tickets to go to the Masters. Four on Monday, four on Tuesday, four on Wednesday. You cannot tell me the lottery does not work, because that's how I got it. Now, I've only met some of you, most of you, today. But if you were a golfer and you had a buddy that golfs and you knew I had 12 tickets to this year's Masters next month, you're like, "Hey, Scott, I want to get to the front of the line here." He goes, "You know, how do I get one of those tickets?" And the only thing I could do is thinking, I was married just shy of 2 years. I'm going to take an email out to my three guys at my wedding party. One was in San Diego, one was in Rochester, New York, and one was in Boston, Massachusetts. All three of them said, "Yes, I'm in. Well, I went back. I go, "So you want to check with your wives to make sure?" "No, we're not checking with any wives. We're saying, yes, we're going to the Masters." I had rented a house. So this is 1997. We walked down Magnolia Lane, which you could do at that time. And guys, I'm going to take you there right now. The smell of the azaleas in April in Augusta, Georgia, will open up your nasal cavities like you're just like, wow. And then you hear the wind going through the Georgia pines that are towering like skyscrapers. And if you ever take that pimento cheese sandwich and slowly take it to your mouth and take a bite out of it, life cannot get any better. We're walking to the first tee and seeing Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, Gary Player, the Shark, Greg Norman. But the whole chatter was about this young 21-year-old. He'd just come onto the scene. And we just did everything we could. We wanted to see this kid. Can I tell you something? Now that I've played this game for 55 years, because I started when I was 8, I've heard a lot of golf shots before. Fran, I know that you have too through your years. But the shot coming off that kid's driver was like a cannon. And 300 yards wasn't once in a while. It was every time, over and over and over again. But something that really blew me away was the way he putted the greens of Augusta, which, if you guys know, it's putting like on cement. They're so fast. They were like in his own backyard. He owned the greens of Augusta. That young 21-year-old went out the first nine, shot a 40, which is 4 over par, you're done. You're going to pack your bags and you're going to go home. But what happened on the back nine? He shot a 30. Back in it, there's a message, guys. It is not how you start, but it's how you finish. I'm going to echo Rick. We are, most of us, on the back nine of life. I feel at 62, turning 63 next month, that I'm just making the turn. Because I feel like I've got a lot of gas in my tank to be a part of the Lord's business here on earth. And I believe the same for every one of you. I don't think you're here just to exist in this game called life. If Mr. Countryman was here, my mentor, 94 years old, still playing golf Saturdays at Vanderbilt Legends Club, this is his daily prayer, guys. Daily. "Lord Jesus, please keep me in the game. Don't put me on the bench, God. I want to stay in the game." At 94, guys, we do not have an excuse to not to be a part of God's business here on earth. We are here for such a short time. We do not know when our tee time is. I don't know when God's going to call me home. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're only guaranteed today. And guys, this is going to step on some toes. What are you doing today to be a part of God's business? Echo Rick. We have Q-tips in here, right? White hair. That is wisdom. You have so much wisdom to pour into this next generation. And this generation needs us desperately. You know, one of the number one things that if we really listen to the millennials, you know what they're looking for? A mentor. They want somebody to help accelerate, not doing the stupid things that we sometimes have done as men. Nobody in this room, I know I'm just speaking for myself. So that trip of the Masters out of scale 1 to 10 was a 10. I come home to a wife of just, like I said, shy of 2 years. Midnight, I have nothing in my tank. I walk in, greeted by her to say, Scott, I'm out of this marriage. I'm gone. See, 6 months earlier, I lost my dream job, selling to Nordstrom, selling to Macy's, big sales job. Company got bought out by Starters. Said, Scott, thank you so much for your years of service. We're going to move on. And I tanked because my identity was in my job. It's the first time at 36 that I actually knew what praying was. I looked to the heavens and said, God, I need help. I was running from God, never opened up the Bible. It's amazing when we pause and say, God, I need help. I went to a bookstore because that's where I'd find my answers. You should saw my self-help book library at home. I would just keep reading. Be positive. You can do it. You do it on your own. This little book just came out in 1997 called In His Grip. And remember, I'm looking for anything. Introduction by Dr. Billy Graham. I heard he's quite a preacher. Never heard of him. Never heard him live or in person or even on the TV. Forward was by Tom Lehman. Tom was the player of the year in 96. And so when I was down there, I'm like, gosh, we got to follow Tom. No relation, but he was the player of the year. Guy had game, but he was a blue-collar guy. He just worked his butt off to get as good as he could get. So I took it home, and when I opened it, remember, I never had been introduced to a devotional or anything Christ-centered. There's two Bible verses, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I asked the wife that had 1 foot in the door, 1 foot out. I said, do we own a Bible? She goes, why in the world do you need a Bible? Because there's these two verses that I'd really like to look up. She goes, go check your bookshelf. Maybe at the bottom you'll find one, but you're going to have to dust it off, Scott. Went through all my books, no Bible, no Bible, no Bible. At the bottom was a box with a Bible in it that the best man in my wedding's parents gave me in 1987, and I had never opened that box. As I pulled the cover off and looked, they had written, Scott, may God bless you. Remember, look to him. He has all the answers in life. First time ever opening up a Bible. And I thumbed through, where's Proverbs? Fortunately, I opened books in the middle, and oh my gosh, Proverbs, how good is that? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And I don't know where you guys are at today. If you're facing the trial of life, maybe in your finances, maybe in your health, maybe in your own marriage, let these two verses not just go from the head knowledge, let them travel down the 18 inches to your heart. Because it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. All your ways submit to him. He will direct your path. And I step back and go, whew, I'm so far from that right now. I'm directing my own path. I went to that wife that was hanging in by a thread and said, we need to go to church. And she goes, you need to go to church. You need to find the truth about our finances. Scott, it's financial infidelity. You're burying us in debt. You're not even sharing it with me. I went to church solo, and I'm so grateful that Pastor John took the word of God and said, how do we apply this into our life? Every week, I'm looking around 1,000 people, and it feels like the lights were shining right on me. Especially when he says, one of you here, one of you guys are really struggling in your marriage. Your wife is ready to leave you. and you've been pursuing this faith journey, but today Jesus is calling you, and you need to surrender and repent and ask for forgiveness and ask Jesus to come into your heart and take residence and become that Christ follower. And I did not do it at the church. I didn't go up front when he asked. I went home to my knees and fell in my office and surrendered everything to Jesus, everything. Next week, I told Pastor John what happened. He goes, Scott, that's awesome. I know you're 36, but you're really now an infant in your faith. You need to get with these four guys over here that meet every Saturday morning and be discipled. Remember Promise Keepers? I'm probably speaking to the right crowd today. It was a little green book called Growing in Christ, and we just started to go through that. And then they're like, hey, Scott, we're going to go to Chicago to Promise Keepers. I'm like, great, let's go, and just start doing life with these guys. And then the question came about week three. Hey, how's home life? You guys doing good? You're married? I said, we're not doing so good. My wife's ready to leave the marriage. One of the guys said, no, she's not. Not on our watch. We're going to pray that God, Jesus, serves through you, loves through you. We're going to pray for that heart of hers. Like, serve through me. Can you guys help me with that? Are you helping with laundry and around the house and grocery shop? I go, my mom did all that in Wisconsin. My wife should be doing that. Like, how's that working out for you, Scotty? You doing all right with that? If you're going to follow Jesus, Scott, he came to serve and not to be served. You go back in that home and you start serving her, start doing laundry or something. I go back, guys, this is awkward. I see this big pile of towels in the bed, and I just start folding. She walks in, and she goes, what are you doing? I said, Leslie, I really just want to help. I'm folding laundry. I'm folding the towels. She goes, well, if you do it, I actually like them folded in thirds and not in quarters. She had a system. I said, teach me your system. Start putting away groceries, put away dishes, things, and took me a few times to get it right. And can I also, when I would go back to the guys and ask, how's things going? I'm just being transparent with you. I said, I'm not getting anything in return. I'm serving her, you know what, off, and I'm not getting anything. Again, whoa. Scott, you serve her unconditionally. You don't do this to get that. It's non-conditional. Going to be hard? Yes. Not easy. Just keep serving her. We're going to keep praying. And I did, with Jesus' help. And that Sunday came. For months, I would go by myself to church. She would sleep in. Very quiet home. She walked into the bathroom and said, Scott, can you wait a few more minutes? I'm going to join you to church. Couldn't speak for a couple minutes. I fell against the sink and said, why? She goes, something's going on with you, Scott. I don't know what it is, but I want what you've got. I'm coming to church. A few weeks later, Pastor John does another opportunity to accept Jesus at the front of the church. And I'm praying, Lord, please, please, Lord, please. Jesus' name, amen. And I looked up to see Leslie at the front of the altar, giving her life to Christ. And God became so real to me that not only personally did he forgive me, but they answered the prayers of these godly men that stood in the gap with me when I didn't even think it was possible and became my prayer warriors for her heart to soften and to see something within me that represented Jesus. Guys, it's through serving others, not ourselves, which is a loud voice from the world. As we got right with our marriage, she asked for the truth on the finances. And I'm like, oh boy, locked up in my file cabinet. As I make the turn to the story, I remember these two prayers in our lower office of, you know, Lord, I'm about to drop a bomb of debt on my wife. Please, Lord, please protect my marriage. But Lord, please protect me personally and physically, because it's going to be a bomb dropping upstairs in a few seconds. She's sitting at the kitchen table already weeping. I laid out all the file, all the financials. Guys, I had a separate P.O. box for all the financials to go to, because when I'm doing these big golf trips or travel, I didn't want it to show up where Leslie could see how much debt I had accumulated behind her back. Had all the financials, circled the number. She goes, "That's the truth." I said, "Leslie, I pray someday you'll forgive me for what I did behind your back. I'm so sorry." She said, "Scott, have you ever heard the truth will set you free?" I'm going to guess that's in the Bible. She goes, "I'm a little slow learner." She's very academically gifted. She goes, "It is. Today you're free. I forgive you. Let's do this the right way." We got into a class pre-Dave Ramsey. It was Larry Burkett. But it was all about realizing that the finances weren't ours. They're his. And guys, do you know in 1 year from that truthful at the kitchen table moment, God cleared all of our debt that I had accumulated behind her back in 1 year. Legally. All right, just to let you know. All up front. Pastor pulls me aside and says, "Scott, I need you in the game." I go, "I want to be in the game, Pastor." I had made a turn in my career at that time, not to go back into sales, but to go back and get certified as a golf teaching pro. I wanted to open a golf academy and help guys with their game. One of the main reasons is my pastor challenged us to use our gifts and our abilities for the work of the Lord. So I would wear an Innisgrip wristband as I'm teaching golf. When you help somebody with their golf game, you have them for life, just to let you know. Every golfer wants to get better. And I would work with their short game. You could have immediate results by just putting better, chipping better, little pitch shot better, get out of the bunker once, not three swings, and just help guys. And they would look and go, "What's in his grip?" And I would share the story that you guys hear today, like, "Whoa, tears welling up. My marriage is in trouble." I said, "Not on my watch, it's not. Why don't you come to church?" Guys would come to church, come to know Jesus. Marriage is being healed. Addiction is being broken. 8 years of this. Leslie was working retail. And guys, this May 27th will be 29 years married to that same young lady that wanted out of the marriage in 1997. God gets all the glory, all the honor, but all things are possible with him. And so the pastor said, "Why don't you start a golf ministry?" I'm like, "Are you kidding me? It's my passion." We started doing golf tournaments, reaching guys for Christ, taking them on a retreat, going deeper, starting Bible studies at golf courses. Hello? I got, "What are you doing? You're taking a Bible to a golf?" "Yes, we are." Did that for 8 years, and those same guys on Saturday morning said, "Scott, we got to talk to you. You keep talking about Innisgrip being yours. My ministry, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Is it yours or is it his? Look at the name. In his grip." They go, "It doesn't say in Scott's grip. It doesn't say in my grip." What would happen, Scott, if you surrendered it at the foot of the cross and got up off your knees to say, "God, use me here on earth"? That led Leslie and I getting out of our boat in the Midwest and walking on water following Jesus to Nashville, 2007. Remember, one tournament a year, one retreat, one league, one group of guys. And Lifeway was doing a golfer's Bible. And they called and heard what we were about, reaching men for Jesus through the game of golf, and said, "Scott, would you help us with little tip-ins in that Bible?" I go, "Can man be a part of a Bible?" I'm like, what do you mean? Like, "No, just little golf tips, and we love what you're doing." That led to the phone ringing off the hook. In 2007 to 2017, Leslie and I in our bonus room in Thompson Station, two-car garage, shipping and receiving, the Lord allowed us to do 216 tournaments in those 10 years with 18,000 men playing and 726 men raised their hands except Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. and I give him all the glory, honor, and praise. 2016, a year prior to the end of that journey, churches were trimming budgets to reach guys like you. And I'm like, pastors, what's going on here? Well, our children ministry is exploding. Women's ministry exploding. And I said, men's ministry? Well, we're going to do an annual pancake breakfast and bring the guys together and honor them, lift them up on Father's Day. And my heart just broke. And we made a pivot in 2018 because I would go back to those 18,000 men to see what happened. Are they being discipled like I was? It wasn't happening. 2018, we got to taking the Bible to the golf course, Nashville Golf and Athletic Club. Brian Jorgensen's wife gets in a car to go to work in Memphis. Guy coming the other way has a blowout, comes across, hits her head on, and she perishes. For 10 years, I'm trying to get to Brian, like Fran and I were talking earlier. He would not let me in. He stiff-armed me. That day she perished, I show up on his front door because I just wanted him to know I was there, but knowing I probably was not going to get in. Her best friend, his wife's best friend, opened the door, and I lock eyes with him in the kitchen. He's just weeping, as you can imagine, uncontrollably. Reaches out his arms, Scotty, please come. I need you. Can we do a Bible study at Nashville Golf and Athletic Club on a weekly basis? I need it. My guys are going to need it. So 2018, our pivot of the ministry went to porn guys and the Word of God. It's so easy because we use GRIP. G is God's word. We have an annual reading plan, and when we come together in person, we have one, maybe two verses. I can hear some of you already, whoa, whoa, whoa. Taught Sunday school for 40 years. Can't just do one or two verses. Got to have, guys, I'm telling you, the R is, what does it reveal when you guys read those two verses? And they kind of, they go, I never stopped and really spent time. I just read. In fact, I'm doing the annual reading plan. That's good. Keep doing that. But they stop to say, God, what, Holy Spirit, reveal to me what's here. God's word never returns void, ever. I is, okay, God just revealed something to you. Trust in the Lord with all my heart. Dang, I'm trusting my own self. What's the I? Implement. It's when the rubber meets the road. How do I implement it into my life? And when you hear other guys in the group sharing, Lord is now, I can't keep track. Rick came on board to help because the ministry is going like this. Tony came on board to shepherd our life groups that we had one, two, now it's 25, not in just Middle Tennessee, but in Alabama, in Georgia, Florida, and Ohio. And you know what I'm learning right now? The more I surrender, laid at the foot of the cross, God expands. What a formula. I can't make anything happen. I think I can sometimes. It's all God, all Jesus. And walking with Brian, and this is, I'll kind of come to the close of where we're at today. Here is Brian losing his wife in a car crash. 9 months earlier, his 16-year-old daughter pens a letter to say, Dad, you could become a better dad. You could become a better husband to your wife, to my mom. And I'm writing this to you, Dad, you got to get some things right. That day, he fell to his knees in his home and surrendered everything to Jesus. And God had prepared him the next 8 months of calling Patricia home through that car accident. He said, Scott, if I didn't have those months right and leading my family back in the Word of God, I'd be the guy that'd walk in the woods and probably not come out. The guilt and the shame would have been unbearable. Guys, as I close today, it is never, ever too late to turn where you are today to be all in for God. Can I encourage you? Keep swinging. Scott, I'm 83 years old. I'm 85. Keep swinging. Scott, you don't know the health challenges I'm having right now or in my family. Keep swinging. Scott, I got the call. I lost my job. Keep swinging. We are only here temporary. This is our temporary home. Our eternal home is in heaven. And I long to hear, guys, and I believe you do too, to meet Jesus face to face, I know I'll shudder, I'll more than likely be face down, but I long to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. There's nothing more that I strive for each and every day to do what he wants me to do. Perfect? No. I still hit bad shots. In fact, to be honest with you, I still hit shots out of bounds. Leslie was standing next to me. She'd say, yeah, but he gets back to the fairway pretty quick. Doesn't camp out there. And that's the journey we are on. Give me the opportunity just to pray over you guys. And this may feel a little awkward, but I'm feeling the nudge to just ask, is there anything as we close that we could pray over? And I know as guys, it's hard to bring anything. It will stay here. Anything we can lift up. Guys are good?
I'd say
Mark?
Four things you mentioned, Scott. Marriage, finances, health, and then giving up eventually to be back in.
I think we can resonate with those for sure. And I'm going to just share the unspoken prayer requests that you guys have, and we're going to lay those just at the foot of the cross as we close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this time together, Lord. I pray, Lord, that the message you shared today landed not just on the ears and the minds, but, Lord, traveled down those 18 inches to the heart. Lord, etch your word onto the tablet of each of our hearts. And Lord, if there is the trial of finances, the trial of family, the trial of health, the trial, maybe, Lord, you really still have plans for me at this stage of life. Lord, embed purpose into their mind and their heart and just have them just give away their life experiences to others, especially those on the front nine. They desperately need the guidance. Let them be the heroes, Lord. We ask all this in the powerful and mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you guys.